Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he'll rule over all my labor in which I toiled, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. So far, sermon text. Christ Jesus, who gives true meaning and real joy to our lives, dear fellow redeemed, the best thing to spend on your children is your time. Children beg for a lot of things, but the most important thing that children need is that you spend time with them, especially spending time with them, teaching them God's word, instructing them about Jesus and all he's done for them, saying prayers with them, teaching them manners, teaching them morals, showing them love and fairness, spending time playing and working with them. Spending time with them is far more valuable than giving them things. Giving children our time is a great gift. But what is the greatest thing to leave your children when you're gone, when you can't spend time with them? Well, even as many people believe that the best thing to give their children is everything that they need and want, so also people believe they got to work and work and work so that they can give their children lots of goods, lots of money, and an inheritance. The best thing to give your children when you're gone is a legacy. A legacy of a Christian faith. The example of a Christian father or mother. A Christian husband or wife. In fact, the parents who feel they got to give everything to their children and do, but don't give them the word of God or instruct them in Jesus, they have a meaningless and empty life. That sound too harsh? We'll see what God's word says. Our text this morning comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. I remember in my first ministry in Millstone, a newly converted member told me he was going to read through the Bible, read through the Old Testament. One day he came to me and he said, "I'm reading through the Bible. I got to Ecclesiastes." I remember his words, "Boy, is that one sad, despairing book." And it is, if you look at it from the world's point of view. Solomon is weaving two truths together. The first truth is this: everything under the sun is in and of itself meaningless, vanity, emptiness. According to Solomon, life on earth is full of trouble. And then when you have some joys and pleasures, they're only fleeting. They last as much as breath on a cold day that disappears. The second truth is, with God in control of our lives, with God in control of our lives, then there is meaning and true joy to life. From the perspective of the unbeliever, this world is pretty meaningless. Even if they get everything in the world, what else is there? But for the child of God, knowing that God is in control of our lives, that God gives us whatever he wants for his will to be done in our lives, then we can have contentment, security, safety, peace in this topsy-turvy turmoil of a world. Solomon's purpose in writing this book is to lead our hearts and minds to look to our Heavenly Father and to our Savior Jesus for the strength and the courage to be able to live a meaningful, purposeful life here on earth, so that we will also live forever in heaven. Throughout this book, we are reminded that nothing on this world lasts. It's all short-lived, no true lasting happiness. One commentator wrote this about the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, "Without the love of God in Christ, life on earth is merely a prelude to eternal damnation. A random series of fleeting triumphs and impending tragedies, culminating in the greatest tragedy of all, eternal separation from God. After a life filled with all the things the unbelievers consider the greatest," Solomon comments forcefully, "and how meaningless all things would be if there were no more to life than just this life." And so we've chosen as our theme this morning the first line of the first verse of the hymn that we just finished singing, "All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing." So let me ask you, do you believe that? Do we always live that? All depends, everything depends on our possessing, not health, happiness, things in this world, but all depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing. Our first point is, you can't take it with you. Look at your text. We'll read again verses 18 to 21. Solomon writes, "Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil." Solomon's first words of this book, again, were vanity of vanities, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, says the preacher. The word vanity literally means breath or vapor. The point is that nothing lasts. Everything is temporary. It'll vanish as a vapor. We said cold breath or breath on a cold day. 37 times Solomon mentions the word vanity, which can also be translated meaningless, emptiness, frustration, futility, without a purpose. The Apostle James echoes these words when he writes, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." How accurately that describes our life here on this earth. Beneath all the hustle and bustle, all the glitter and all the tinsel, lays that feeling, that sense of emptiness. What is life all about? What is my purpose here on this earth? Now, it wasn't asked by Adam and Eve prior to falling into sin. Prior to falling into sin, Adam and Eve had great meaning, great purpose in their life. But then they rebelled. They sinned against God, and Paul writes, For the creation was subjected to futility, to frustration, to emptiness, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. That's God. It's interesting to note that Adam and Eve named their second child Abel. The Hebrew word for Abel means meaningless. Perhaps that was a commentary on life after the fall. Whatever you and I work for to accumulate and to earn cannot be taken beyond our death. Some are for riches, some are for fame, prestige, honor, recognition, power, high position. But when we've acquired them, we've got to leave them to someone else when we die. Death is the end of human work, and the death is the end of our possessing the things that we have earned. You can't take it with you. Everyone must turn them over to someone else, next generation. And then Solomon says, and who knows whether that man will be wise or a complete fool. Sometimes the company or the corporation that's passed down to the children or grandchildren flourishes. And sometimes it's brought to ruin. Sometimes when we hand down our inheritance that we worked hard for to our children or grandchildren, they even do more with it and do great things with it and help charities and so forth. Other times it's wasted, squandered, lost. Sometimes the reputation of a person is great, and then the inheritors destroy his reputation with their immoral living. So what does Solomon say? This also is vanity and a great evil. It's meaningless. A great evil when someone spends their whole lifetime wise, careful, earning things, saving things, sharing things, and then giving to someone else, they squander it and waste it. That's Solomon's first point. But what about the here and now? Don't we have some joy, some contentment, peace with the things that we have in this earth? Solomon's second point is, material goods cannot give you peace on earth. We read verses 22 and 23. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work grievous. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. In the first verses, Solomon says, you work and work and work and work, and then you die, and your stuff could get wasted by the next generation. Now he says, what about the physical and mental stress and strain that it takes for you to work and plan and pursue your goals of getting and possessing? Work is hard enough. But then all the worry, all the strain, all anxiety, the stress of planning it to be successful, that's even harder. You know, in the 1800s, there were young people that died from hard work and exhaustion. People died because they had bad working conditions. And today, our day and age, young people get sick and die too. Not because of bad working conditions, stress, anxiety, not enough exercise, bad eating habits. Solomon wrote, or Moses wrote in Psalm 90, we finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. All the worry, all the anxiety, all the stress, Solomon says, is as meaningless as a wisp of vapor. All that hard work, restless nights, sleepless nights, meaningless. I ran across this insightful line. It's kind of funny but sad. Why put off until tomorrow what I can worry about today? Why put off tomorrow what I can worry about today? That seems to be the way people think today. Sometimes we worry about what won't happen. I won't get that raise. I won't get that promotion. I won't get my assignment done on time. I won't be able to see my grandchildren. Then we worry about what will happen. Another economic collapse. I'll get sick. I'll get ill. Accident. Death. Mark Twain wrote, "I have worried over a great many things in my life, the most of which have never happened." The things we work for, worry about, stress over, accumulate, cannot give us peace or contentment here on this earth, no matter how much we acquire. In fact, the more you acquire and the richer you get, very often, the more anxiety, the more fear, the more insecurity there is. Now, if Solomon was stopped right there in his book, then I'd agree with my forum member. What a sad book. In fact, be downright despairing. But there's more. The third point. Only God gives you peace and meaning to your life. We read the last three verses, 24 to 26. "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the Lord, the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind." So what's the difference between what Solomon just said here and what we read earlier in our gospel reading about the rich man who said, "I got so many good things, I want to build bigger barns, and then just eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy my life"? The difference is the heart. The rich man never acknowledged God as the provider of his goods. He never acknowledged that God wanted him to enjoy them and share them with others and to see what God's will was in his life. Solomon says all those things comes from the hand of God. Contentment and enjoyment in what you have is a gift that God gives to us by saying we will be happy with whatever it is the Lord gives to us. Solomon wrote a psalm, Psalm 127. He must like that word vanity because he uses it again in 127. He says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." It's useless. "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." It's useless. He says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." And here's where the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith comes in. So, are you listening? Listen carefully. This is the most important part of Solomon's words. Everybody listening? God tells us that he goes far beyond just giving us things for this life. He gives us eternal life. No matter what you accomplish in this life, whatever it may be, it doesn't even come close to comparing what Jesus accomplished for us. When we look at Jesus and see what he's done for us, his perfect life, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and the peace and joy and happiness, the eternal life that gives to us, we are filled with joy and contentment and peace. Only by looking to Christ can we realize that all the emptiness, all the vanity of this life doesn't lead to despairing. It leads to knowing that we have much, much, much more than this life. Solomon says, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight." And who's good in God's sight? We know we're all lost, condemned sinners. Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this is a righteous man. This is a person who's a believer in Christ. The Lord gives to you and to me faith and knowledge about Jesus that he has come and redeemed us from a meaningless, empty, useless life. He set us free from slavery to things, slavery to work, slavery to accumulating things, slavery to selfishness. He set us free from all the things that we want to have by our sinful nature and said, "You're my child. You're mine. I bought you with my blood. I own you. You have everything you ever need." He made our lives worthwhile. He made our lives meaningful by suffering and dying for us. As we read in our first scripture reading, Colossians, the Lord says, Christ is our life. And if he's our life, we're to keep our eyes focused on him. Seek those things which are above. Set our minds on things above, not on things here on this earth. Therefore, there's no meaningless work for the person who believes in Jesus, for the person who serves Jesus. All our faithful labor, all our faithful work, whatever it may be that you do, it's a thank offering to God for all that he has done for us through Christ Jesus. As that beautiful little poem says, one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. So, since we Christians realize that soon our life will pass away, and we will then receive unimaginable riches, joy, peace, contentment in heaven, we have no need to fret or worry about how much we're going to leave behind, who's going to get it, or to have to work and work and work to make sure that we have enough to give to our children as an inheritance. But we'll be content with whatever we have. And we also have that real peace and joy in knowing that by believing in Jesus Christ, we'll have everything we need here on this earth and eternal life in heaven. Our text began with the words, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And our text ends with the Solomon applying those same words as a warning to the unbeliever that if you live without Christ, you live without Messiah, you live without the Savior, you have an empty, meaningless life that ends in eternal death. But the believer in Christ not only has a meaningful life of service and praise to our Savior and in service to one another, but has the life of endless joy and peace and perfection and happiness to look forward to. But finally, to sum it up, Solomon is saying, save yourself the trouble. You can learn the hard way, like I did. I had everything. Riches, fame, fortune, wives, everything. And he lost it all. Forsook the Lord. Or you can take my word for it. Because he was brought back by the Spirit, brought back to repent of his sins, and realize everything he had gave him no peace, no joy, no contentment. The only peace and joy he had was in his Lord, in the Messiah. The inspired word of the Holy Spirit says that this world and all the material goods that it has to offer is empty and meaningless. But that which our Savior has to offer for us is eternal. Perfect peace, joy, and happiness. Which will you choose? Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.